you a question. How many of you really want this Christmas season to be a time of blessing? You really want it to be a blessing. And furthermore, how many really want to be a blessing this Christmas? Not only do we want it to be a time of blessing, but we want to be a blessing to somebody else. It can be a life-changing experience for our family. It's certainly a special time of the year. And my prayer is that God will help us to make a difference this Christmas. And as I've been reflecting and praying on the Lord's will for this morning, the message, the Lord began to speak to my heart about Christmas time. Christmas time. That's the title of the message this morning, Christmas time. Christmas time can and indeed is a special time. And yet at the same time, it's a time of loneliness for a lot of people. It can be a time of depression. A time of emptiness. And there may be somebody you this morning that right now you feel empty. I want you to know that you don't have to leave empty. You don't have to leave feeling like nobody cares for you and nobody loves you, because praise God, I know our Lord Jesus, He does indeed love you and He cares for you. And you know, Christmas time is a time that we can be encouraged, especially as a Christian, a child of God. Why? Because, number one, we've got the Bible. Do you know what? I was thinking this morning in my study, early this morning, this is the first Sunday in at least 22, 3, 4 years I've not had my other Bible with me. I'm getting the other one rebound. It's about to fall apart, and I said, I sure did miss that Bible. You know, I love my Bible. I love my Bible. Y'all love your Bible? Man, praise God. I want to be buried with my Bible, because you know why? The Word of God lives forever and ever and ever. It's God's wonderful Word. But you know what? Not only that, but it's not only a time that we can stand on the truth of God's Word, but praise God, Jesus said, watch this, He said He's going to be with us. He said He'd be in us. He said He'd be unto us. He said that He wouldn't necessarily take us from our troubles and trials, but He did say He'd be with us in the midst of our trouble and trials. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. But you know, speaking of Bible and Bible truth, how many of you have not seen this new television show, some game show on about Bible trivia? Jeff Foxworthy is the host of it. How many of you watched that or seen that? I've got a friend of mine that he said he will not miss it. He wants to watch it. He's just intrigued and just fascinated with the fact that this is now on public television. And I'm glad too. I've kind of got mixed feelings about it. Can I tell you why? One, on the one hand, I'm glad that, number one, the Word of God is being proclaimed throughout our secular society. However, at the same time, I must confess to you that I'm equally as concerned that people don't simply come to the Bible to learn facts and trivia. The Bible is not meant for us just to learn facts and trivial issues. The Word of God is meant for us to obey it. And that makes the difference. We are to come under its authority. It's not just something we are elated over because of the historical truths or the grammatical accuracy and the contextual and doctrinal and those kinds of issues, but the Bible is meant to be obeyed and surrendered to. Tell me, are you coming under the authority of the Word of God? Or is your life come under what God says? Are you under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? That's what it's all about. Someone as well said it this way. They said, you know, there are three books in the average church. There's the Bible book, there's the hymn book, and then there's the pocketbook. Speaking of pocketbook, I heard about a story of a man that called the church office, Sister Becky, and he said to the secretary, he said, is the head hog in? And she said, what do you mean head hog? He said, you know, the pastor, he's the preacher. He's supposed to be the big chief or the head hog. And she was offended by that, and she said, well, our pastor, he's not a head hog, and he's a servant of the Lord. And so he said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, whatever church I'm thinking about contributing about $100,000 to a church. And she said, I'm just sorry to hear that. And she said, well, hold on just a minute. I see Porky coming down the hall right now. Here's Porky right here. The Bible is to be a book obeyed. Christmas time. And the Lord birthed in my heart four ways that we can indeed be a blessing and be blessed this Christmas. And this message this morning is going to be perhaps, I trust and hope, a more practical, applicable message to our heart. And so if you got your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Stand to your feet, please, as we read the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You're very familiar with this passage, I'm sure. And as we travel in the message of the morning, may God help us to see there are four ways that you can make a difference and four ways to be a blessing. And Christmas time. Number one, if you're one of those that takes notes, you might note the fact that number one, Christmas time is a time of giving and forgiving. Number one, Christmas time is a time of giving and forgiving. Number two, Christmas time is not only a time of giving and forgiving, but number two, Christmas time is a time of receiving and believing. Receiving and believing. And then number three, there's a third way whereby we can be a blessing to somebody else, and that is certainly our heart cry this morning. And it's number three, not only is it a time to receiving and believing, but number three, it's a time of sharing and caring. Sharing and caring. And then number four. Fourth and finally, it's a time not only of sharing and caring, but Christmas time is a time whereby we are a time of growing and a time of going. Having said that, let's look at John chapter 1. You're well aware of the fact that the Gospel of John, John is an evangelist, and his main motive for writing the Gospel of John is namely this, that people would read and see and adhere the fact that Jesus was who he said he was, God in the flesh, and that seeing and believing that you and I might have eternal life. And that's found in the Gospel of John chapter 20. But today, let's begin here in verse 1 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I might just stop and pause for a moment, and you may be aware of the fact that the Jehovah Witnesses Bible, the New World Translation, comes from the Watchtower Society, translates this particular verse in this manner. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, little g. I've always said if their God's a little God, that's fine. My God's not a little God, praise God. He's a big God, amen, and amen, and amen. Look at it. Here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Skip down to verse 14. And the Word, Logos, meaning the first reference in the beginning was the Word, taking us all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now we see the meaning of Christmas. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Skip down to verse 18. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The word only begotten, the word begotten is the word monogenes, which means there's only one like Jesus. I'm glad to tell you today, He's the one and the only. Oh, yes, He is. He's special indeed. There's not two ways to heaven. There's not three ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood sprinkled away. Now, this is the Word of God, and may God bless it to our heart today as we think, for first of all, about Christmas time being a time of giving and forgiving. Let's pray. Father, now in the mighty name of Jesus, we worship You because You are a living God. I bless You, Lord. You're not a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes laid in a manger, but You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the Creator of heaven and earth. You are the Rose of Sharon, the Rock of ages. You are altogether lovely, our Lord and our Savior. And
And we bless you today that you're the conquering King and you're the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we pray now, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on our ears to hear, fall fresh on our hearts to obey. Lord, give us grace, our God, to be doers of the word, not hearers only. I pray, Lord, you'll deal with all the difficulty you find in us, every unconfessed sin. We pray the blood of the Lamb of God will wash it away. And then, Lord, we pray for a heartbeat for you, a passion to know you and know the power of your resurrection. Oh, God, cut us loose from the world. Lord, cut us loose from the flesh and the devil and anything and everything that would hinder us from running the race, keeping our eyes on you and, Lord, being a spirit-filled man and a spirit-filled woman. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning who've never tasted of your grace and never experienced peace that passes understanding. Lord, there might be somebody, it's perhaps more than one, Father God, in this place this morning who need desperately to pass from death unto life. They need your grace. We all need your grace. And I pray now as the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, manifest your glory. Lord, convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And Father God, lead us into being more fruitful in these Christmas days, our Lord, all for your glory. Now, God, challenge the blood-bought, the blood-washed children here this morning, and we'll thank you, we'll praise you for it. Oh, God, change us and we'll be changed. Revive us and we'll be revived. Lord, just have your will and have your way with every heart. We thank you for it. What you're going to do in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. You may be seated. Four ways to be a blessing. Four ways to be a blessing this Christmas and to be blessed. Number one, by giving and forgiving. By giving and forgiving. You're well aware of the greatest verse perhaps in all the Bible that was just quoted a few minutes ago. John 3:16. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bottom line, God gave his very best. God gave his very best. God so loved me and you. God so loved the world that he gave what? The Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, the Sermon on the Mount. Yep, he gave all of that, but he gave more. He gave his only begotten Son. One little boy was quoting John 3:16, and here's what he said. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten Son. He missed a little bit, but he really didn't miss a little bit, because you know God the Father did forget his Son in a sense. Why? Where he would remember me and where he would remember you. God loved. God gave. He gave his very best. Jesus, heaven's glory, came down to this earth's glory. God loved and God gave the very best that he had. And I'm praising God that, you know, when Jesus was not only born in a manger, but when he was crucified on an old rugged cross, he came to die. You do know that. He was born to die. It was then on the cross we recorded the words by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that God the Father indeed dropped the veil over this old earth. Darkness filled the land when Jesus, God's sacrificial lamb. No wonder Paul wrote and said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. No wonder he's described as God's unchangeable gift. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No wonder he's God's unmerited gift. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No wonder he's described as God's unlimited gift. Whosoever will, Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He is God's gift. And I want you to know, when Jesus Christ died, he died for me, he died for you. He was God's greatest gift. Here's the question. The question is not, what is God's greatest gift? The question is,
What kind of gift are you and I giving to the Lord? That's the real question. Christmas is a time of giving and forgiving. Let me ask you a question. Do you give God your best? Do you really give God your best? Or is it really more like we give God our leftovers? How many like leftovers after Thanksgiving? Let me see your hand. Nobody here. Well, bless God, I'm in the minority today. I like leftovers after Thanksgiving. I can eat them the next day. Turkey and dressing is just as good in the refrigerator as it was the day before. And man, I can just eat it all as long as it lasts. But I want you to know, listen, God deserves our best. He deserves our best. Tell me, are you giving God your best? I want you to know, listen, one time here recently, it was this week. I went through my closet. And you know, how many of you got clothes and shoes and stuff that you've had in there for a long time and you hadn't worn in a long time? Let me see your hand. Come on now, come on. We all have stuff that somebody else could wear. We call them hand-me-downs. I don't mind having hand-me-downs. But I was going through the closet this week, and occasionally we'll take certain things down to the Goodwill. And after I've worn it, why, I found some clothes that I can't get into that I could 20 years ago. Can I get it? Amen. But anyway, and so we took some clothes down to the Goodwill. And you know what? Can I tell you the truth, beloved? Every once in a while, I like to walk in the Goodwill store as myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why, I went in there the other day and I saw a pair of shoes for $5. They were used. They were second best. But guess what? They fit and they were comfortable. Amen. That's all that matters. Here's what I'm getting at. I can, and you can give maybe something that's not the very best, like our clothes or a pair of shoes, and we can give it to somebody else. It's already been worn. It's the new part is kind of worn off. And I don't mind shoes or clothes or something like that. But I want you to know God deserves better than second-rate giving. Amen and amen and amen. The Lord deserves your best, my best. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Pastor? I'm talking about the Lord deserves our very, very best, number one, in our time. Are you giving the Lord your best in time? Are you redeeming time because the days are evil, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16? God deserves the best of our time. Are we giving God our leftover while we wake up in the morning, rush off to whatever activities we have to do, run to our job, or run down to the store, and then at the very end of the day, if we're not careful, we can just be so tired. Hear me, so tired. Hey, how many of you have a time to spend with the Lord every morning? Come on, you got some time to spend with the Lord? Give Him your best. May God help us to give Him our very best, the best of our time. Now, if you're one of those persons, you say, I don't really get awake real clearly in the morning. Well, whatever it has to do, go for a shower, go for a walk, eat some breakfast, whatever. Just give God the best of your time. Not only that, but our talents. Not only that, but our treasures. Give the Lord your best. There may be somebody sitting here this morning. You hadn't been having a quiet time on a regular basis. Why not? You say, I'm too busy. I got other things going on. Well, if you're too busy, and if I'm too busy to spend time with God, we're just too busy. That may be the reason why we need a mighty revival in America, is we're too busy for God. I'm telling you, Jesus was God's greatest gift. God so loved, God so gave. And if He gave His best, we ought to give our best to the Lord. Can I get an amen in the house? Let's give God our best. Let's say, Lord, I'm willing to go where you want me to go, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's not in my schedule. Some of us today, why we're so prone to, if something interrupts our schedule, we get all bent out of shape. Don't raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. But God is a God who deserves our very best. He gave His best. Now, if you're here today and you have not perhaps been spending that good quality time with our precious Lord and Savior, and not perhaps giving our Lord your very best, today can be a change for you. Today can be a different day for you. You can right now in your heart, you can right now where you sit, say, Lord, I've really not been giving you the best that I have. But Father, right now, I'm going to purpose in my heart to start from this day forward to give you my best. He deserves our best. Christmas time is a time of giving. And not only is it a time of giving, but it's a time of forgiving. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're told by Greek scholars the word dwelt
is the word that pictures that Shekinah glory. In the Old Testament, when God's presence, how many believe that God is real and He will indeed manifest His presence? How many believe that Jesus is not a figure of our imagination? He's real. And praise God, He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still leads His people. He still is with His people. He still will speak to our heart. Are you ready to hear from God today? Did you come to church today just thinking, oh, well, it's about Christmas time, and maybe we'll hear a cute little sermon on Christmas and sing a little few songs, and I'll go keep on doing my same old, same old. I wondered if God really spoke to you. Our heart, and if God really speaks to our heart today, will it change us? Are we open to God speaking to us, or have we already closed our minds? Have we already come not committed to hearing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God? God says it's better to obey than the sacrifice, the hearken unto the voice of rams. I got a feeling sometimes if we're not careful, we're not focused. But here's the point. God and Christmas time is a time of giving, as God gave His very best. It's not only a time of giving, but it's a time of forgiving. Forgiving. I want you to go back with me. That scene depicted in Matthew 27, as well as Mark, the Gospel of Mark and Luke, as well as John. The Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified. And God forgave. I can picture our Lord right now as He's hung on a cross. He was beaten and ridiculed and mocked, and yet God gave and God forgave. You know the words that the Lord uttered when He was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And someone as well said, the songwriter put it this way, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. I want you to know what held our Lord to the cross was not those nails. Rather, what held Him to the cross was my sins and your sins. What held Him to the cross was love. Love. Oh, praise God. Love grew where the blood fell. I'm talking about a God who loves. I'm talking about a God who doesn't just give lip service. I'm talking about a God who loved and He gave. Gave what? His very best, the Lord Jesus. He gave that we might be forgiven. That's a sweet word, isn't it? Forgiven. Praise God. Forgiven. Washed away. That is God the Father. Somebody put it this way. Christ was crucified. Man was justified. God was satisfied. I want to know when Jesus hung on the cross, bearing my sin, tasting death for me, literally experiencing my hell. I want you to know I'm the recipient of the grace of God. I can indeed apply the blood to my heart and say, Lord, I need forgiveness. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And it was that sacrificial atoning death on the cross of Christ, of Calvary, where Christ Jesus our Lord died. It's there that we are made righteous in the sight of God. I don't know if you've fathomed that thought lately, but how holy, listen to me, are you listening? Look at me, are you listening? How a holy God who cannot look at sin but must judge sin, how this holy God would be pleased to bruise His Son on the cross. Isaiah 53 says, He was bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With a stripes we're healed. I want you to know God's wrath and God's anger and God's judgment. God's a God who must be vindicated. And it was, hear me now, look at me, I love you as your pastor, but you need to know it was your sin and your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world for the reason Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree. I'm glad that Jesus, though He was God, He was willing to become a man and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen to me. I'm glad, praise God, forevermore that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. Yet He knew if He was becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, I can go free. You can go free. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm telling you, you can't beat that. God, love God gave. Oh, yes, it did. Christmas is a time of giving. It's a time of forgiving. Last week I had the privilege of being in four hospitals. Drove almost 1,000 miles. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. One of the hospitals I was in last week, I noticed a white van that pulled up outside of the hospital. The doors opened up of that white van. Two security guards got out of the van, had guns on their sides, dressed in blue. And as they began to open that door, they led a man out of the van. And I noticed the man in whom they were leading into the hospital. He had a white suit on with black stripes. He had chains on his hand, chains and shackles on his feet. And he just began to walk through the hospital as they were leading him. Every eye was on him. It was obvious he was a prisoner. And as I watched that man shuffle along with his feet and being drugged to the hospital, I thought, oh God, what a picture of what I've been and what I am when I yield to sin, a prisoner of sin. Oh, but wait a minute, because God loved and God forgave. And you know what, beloved? When we harbor unforgiveness in our heart, and when we are covetous, greedy, and lustful, and when we're bitter and unforgiving, we're just like that man, shackled and chained. Some of you today, you think you're free, perhaps, but maybe deep down inside you know there's a chain on you. The devil's got a hold of you. I've got good news. Praise God, you don't have to stay in those chains anymore. Jesus came to break the chains of Satan. Some of you are mad. Something's happened, hasn't it? Thanksgiving time, somebody didn't do what you thought they ought to do. Christmas time, you hadn't. I talked with a man last night. He said he hadn't talked with his daddy in 5 years. I said, why? He said he was mad. I said, why? And he began to tell me the story. You can multiply that over and above. Between parents and children. Between husbands and wives. Between brothers and sisters. Between families. Oh, I'm telling you, the devil's having havoc. And the devil's having a heyday with families today. Today can be a turnaround for you. Today can be a new day for you. I'm telling you, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How many believe it's time to take a stand against Satan and say, Satan, you've had our families long enough. Enough is enough. And from this day forward, we're going to choose to forgive and love. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? Praise God, the Bible declares, Paul wrote and said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How many have been battling with a critical spirit lately? A self-righteous spirit lately? Oh, we look at our neighbors and we don't see them go to church. And the next thing you know, instead of weeping for them, we become critical toward them. Am I preaching to anybody today? There's somebody in your family, they just don't appreciate you. They don't respect you. Unforgiveness, can I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I came from a wonderful home as a little child. We love Christmas time. How many like Christmas time? It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. And at Christmas time, I look forward every Christmas. Why, we were so excited. You remember those times when you were a child? You were so excited around Christmas time. Why, we could hardly sleep at night. I mean, on Christmas Eve, I've got three sisters and a brother, and we'd just be up all night long. And we couldn't wait till the next day. The next day, why, we'd run to the certain room, and there were the gifts, and there our family sat together, and it was family time. How many enjoyed those family times together with your family? You remember those times? Sweet, precious memories. And as a teenager, at the age of 13 years old, my parents indicated they were not going to be married anymore. They were getting a divorce. And I remember things changed drastically. And I remember, as I was thinking about this forgiving and being forgiven, I thought about one Christmas shortly after my parents were divorced, moved out of the home, And I remember having that wonderful childhood experience with the family. Families are important, as you sang a moment ago. But this particular Christmas, as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old teenager, there was no tree, there was no presents, there were no lights, there was no singing, there was no laughter, there was no happiness. It was all gone. Christmas had lost its meaning. And as a young 16-year-old, young teenager, I began to grow angry. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You're angry maybe today. And I grew angry. And I remember one Christmas not receiving anything. One Christmas, I got a pair of pants and a shirt. And I want you to know that some of you grew up in hard times, and that might seem like a lot to you, but when you grew up in a home when there was more given, and to just get a pair of pants, I was thankful for the pair of pants, but deep down inside, I was angry. I was angry. Why? Why did this have to happen? And there's some of us today that have experienced other things in life, and if you're not careful, you can grow an angry spirit. And a bitter spirit. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says, looking diligently, lest any seed of bitterness spring up thereby trouble you. I'm telling you, just because there's lights and Christmas trees and decorations and all of that, it doesn't take away the anger. Only Jesus does. We need to let the Lord examine our heart today, don't we? And get rid of the anger. But I'm glad to tell you, praise God, God didn't leave me in that state. You don't have to stay in that state. As a 21-year-old young man, I remember the Lord Jesus revealing His mighty hand, showing me that I could be forgiven my sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is filthy rags before a holy God. That's right. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's right. Whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offends it in one place, James 2:10 says, is guilty of it all. That's right. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not a just man upon all the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. And Psalmist said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51. Bottom line is this, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I need forgiveness. I was a prisoner. I was being led away like that prisoner I saw at the hospital this week. But when I cried out to Jesus, when I called upon the Lord, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's say that together. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One more time. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? I know that Jesus changed my heart. I know if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. God forgave my sin. And you know what He did? He gave me the power to be willing to forgive. Let it go. Just let it go. Release that anger today. Christmas time's a time of forgiving. Christmas time's a time of giving. It's a time of giving. Will you let that thing go that you've been holding for a while now? Will you just move on? Life's too short to harbor that. Move on. Speaking of giving, I heard about a teacher that had three students. One student wanted to give her a Christmas gift, and he handed her a box, and she got the box and began to shake it. She said, She said that she knew that his daddy worked at a florist shop, so she said, is it flowers? He said, open it up. She opened it up, and it was flowers. A second little girl came up to the teacher and gave her a gift. A box, and she shook it up and she rattled inside, and she said, what is this? She said she knew the little girl went to the store quite often. She said, is it candy? She opened up the box and it was candy. A third little boy came up to the teacher and handed her a little bit bigger box and said, here, I want you to have it. She looked at the box, she shook it up, but she couldn't figure out exactly what it was, and she said, what is it? Is it a hat? Is it, what is it? Is it a scarf? What is it? She noticed on the bottom of the box, there was a little wet place on the bottom of the box. She knew that that little boy would go to the store quite often. She said, I know what it is. Is it water? He said, no, ma'am, it's not water. She dipped got her little finger on that bottom of the box and touched her tongue. She said, I know what it is. It's a Coca-Cola. He said, no, ma'am. She said, well, what is it? He said, it's a kitty cat. Giving, forgiving. There's a second place that I believe the Lord wants us to travel today. Christmas time is a time of giving and forgiving. Secondly, Christmas time is a time of receiving and believing. Look at John 1:12. Look at John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him. That word receive is the word lambano, which means it does not mean a passive reception. Rather, it means an active reception. As many as received him. Received who? Received Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them believe on his name. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Answer the question. Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that you know? I didn't say, did you believe in God in your head? The Bible says the devils believe in God and tremble. The question is, have you ever received this gift of eternal life? And then if you have, when was it? Do you know that you know? Are you absolutely certain? Christmas time is a time of receiving. Christmas time is a time of not only receiving, but it's a time of believing. I want you to know, listen to me, beloved. Thanks be to God that God not only gives us eternal life, everlasting life. I'm glad of that. Are you glad of that? But he gives us something else. He gives us abundant life, victory over sin, victory over the world, victory over the flesh, victory over the devil. He gives us life and gives it more abundantly. Jesus said, I come to give you life. Give it more abundantly. Receive him today. You say, why should I? Here's why. Because life is but a vapor. James said, he said that life is but a vapor. Appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. What is your life? It's just a vapor. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Boast none of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. The bottom line is this. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Has there been a point in time, do you know absolutely positive, that you're a Christian? If you died, you'd go to heaven. You can know. God's greatest gift was the Lord Jesus. It's a time of receiving. Receiving peace. There's a lot of us today. Can I make a confession to y'all? Is that all right? Lately, I have been finding myself running from one place to another. It seems like I'm in a hurry lately. How many know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Come on. Have you been running here and there and yonder? Have you become anxious in your heart? Come on, be honest with me today. Christmas time's not a time when we get stressed to the max, where we get anxious and worried and trying to meet every deadline and go every place. But I'm looking at some faces out here that know you're facing the same thing I am, aren't you? The crunch time. Trying to get everything done. Get the decorations up. Get all mamas and daddies and run here and run to this and that and the other. And if we're not careful, Christmas time is the last place where we really have peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Oh, we put on a counterfeit, I know. We go through the motions, I know. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a time of receiving. Furthermore, it's a time of believing. It's a time of believing. Believing God will do what he says he'll do. Believing. Is there anybody here today that you've got bills rolling in the mail and you don't know if you're going to have the ability to pay for everything that you owe? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is there anybody here today? You've been to the doctor lately. You're not really sure about that report. Why, you don't know about those physical limitations we all have. Hear me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Faith. I'm telling you, Christmas time is a time to believe. It's a time to trust. It's a time to say, thank God. God said it, and I believe it. I'm telling you, it's not a time to think that God can. Rather, it's a time to think that God will. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus died for me. And on the cross, he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Will you believe God today? Whatever problem you've got, whatever difficulty you've got, I'm telling you, God is faithful. God will see his children through. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the floods, you shall overflow you. And when you walk upon the fire, you shall not be burned, neither the flame kindle upon you. I'm telling you, listen to me. This is going to set some of you free. You came to church wondering if God had something for you. Here it is right here. You ready for it? If you're ready for it, say amen. Underneath us are His everlasting arms. God said in His word, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Isn't that a good word? As your days. Hey, listen to me. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, will mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Oh, praise God for renewal, refreshment, times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Praise God for God's mighty revival power in our life, and certainly we need it. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you going to trust God today? Doubt and do without, believe and receive. One lady I was talking with just Wednesday night, she's going through a storm in her life. And the Lord put on my heart to tell her, and I want to tell you today, if you're going through a storm, if you got a trial or a test that God is allowing you to go through, it must mean God's got something bigger for you and better for you. You just need to ponder that, what I just said. I'm telling you, God, He said all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to His purpose. He said, praise God, I won't leave you nor forsake you. He said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He said, I thank God. He said, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we have all and abound. In Him we're made complete. In Him we have been made accepted. And beloved, and I want you to know, brother, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's a good place to say amen. Oh yeah, believe and receive. Speaking of believing and receiving, I heard about a man that had a lot of money. He was a wealthy man. I'm looking around the crowd. I don't know if there's anybody here wealthy, but amen. We're all wealthy in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. In Him we're made complete. But I heard about a wealthy man that had a lot of money. And his girlfriend wondered about all his money. And the man wondered if she loved him just because of his money. And one day she mustered up enough courage to ask him the question. Then he mustered up enough courage to ask her a question. Here's what he said. He said, tell me, to his girlfriend, if I lost all my money, would you love me? She said, of course I would love you, and I'd miss you terribly. I heard about one man. Heard about one man that was at the end of his rope. He was at his wit's end. And he told his family and his wife, he said, when I die, he said, I want you to cremate my body, put my ashes in an envelope, send it to the IRS, and say, now you've got everything. Christmas time is a time of not only giving and forgiving, a time of believing and receiving. Thirdly, Christmas time is a time of sharing and caring. I'm glad to tell you today, Jesus cares for you. That's a good place to shout right there. That's a good place to say hallelujah right there. Jesus cares for you. How do I know that? Over there in John 4, there was a woman. She'd been married 5 times. The man she was living with wasn't even her husband. And yet Jesus must pass through Samaria. And next thing you know, he's sitting at a well. He says, woman, I'm going to give you some water. You won't thirst again. She came to the well bound down and sinful and feeling dirty and guilty. But when she tasted of the water, of living water, the Lord Jesus, she left that well with peace in her heart, joy in her step, victory in Jesus. I want you to know she was absolutely forever changed by the power of God. Why? Because Jesus cared for a woman, and he just told her, hey, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You know what happened to that woman? She caught on fire. It just takes a little spark to create a revival. I said it just takes a little spark to create revival. That dear woman got a hold of that spark of the Lamb of God. She went back to her hometown of Samaria, and the Word of God says there were numerous of the people absolutely saved by the power of living God. How many believe that we still need revival today? How many are praying for God to send the Holy Ghost? Heaven said, send killing revival across America. I'm telling you, Jesus cared for a woman in Samaria, an outcast, and he cares for you today. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Jesus cares for that man that was 38 years laying at a pool of Bethesda. Nobody cared for him. He showed up and he said to that man, "Man, will you be made whole?" He said, "Nobody help me in the water." Jesus said, "I don't need anybody to help in the water. I am the King of Kings and the Lord." He didn't really say that, but it really was. You know, it reminded me of Mary Prince walking around the hospital on Friday night. Mary Prince going from one ICU room to another. How many know what I'm talking about? If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Perhaps it may be the will of God for some of us, but anyway, here's the point. Mary's carrying her pillow and her blanket. She moved from the first floor to the seventh floor, and she's waiting for it. The rooms they moved in was just about this small. It was about like this, enough for a bed in there. That is a hospital bed. And she had her pillow and her blanket. And the Lord reminded me, I said, "Mary, take up your bed and walk." Just like that man, Jesus said to that man, 38 years, "Take up your bed and walk." Jesus cares for you. He cared about a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery in John 8. I mean, her accusers, he said, "He's without sin, let him cast the first stone." There was the self-righteous Pharisees, there was the sinful woman, and there was a sinless Savior. Only one that was worthy to cast some sins was, or some rocks, was Jesus. I mean, he was without sin. But he said to that woman, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "I have none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I'm telling you, Jesus cared for a woman. Jesus cared for a blind man. He's sitting by the roadside. It's recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. He's saying, "David, son of David." Have you ever been broken down by the roadside? Riding in Atlanta, I see a lot of people broken down by the roadside. A lot of homeless people holding up signs saying, "Help, I need help." There was a blind man that was broken down by the roadside, but he knew where to go to get help. He said, "Jesus, if you could just help me." And Jesus said, "Man, what do you want?" He said, "I want my sight." Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, he cared for a blind man. He cared for a lame man. He cared for a sinful woman. Not only that, but he cared for a woman that had spent all the money she had. I'm talking about she had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Is there anybody here that's spending a lot of money on doctors these days? She said, if I could just, she said, I know. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be whole. And the Bible says, I can see her in my mind's eye. She's working through the crowd and pushing people out. I got to get to Jesus. I'm telling you, if you can get to Jesus, he can help you today. Don't look to your neighbor. Don't look to the preacher. Get to Jesus today. And she said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, she reached out her hand of faith and touched the hem of his garment, and virtue went out, power went out. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He looked around, he knew that was that woman. He said, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole." I'm glad that he touched me. I like that old song, "Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, but the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same." He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that touched my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. If you've ever been touched by Jesus, you will not be the same. And some of us need a touch from the Master today. Jesus cares for you. He cares. Tell me, are you going to care for others too? Last but not least, and I'll be done, Christmas time is a time of giving. Christmas time is a time of forgiving. Christmas time is a time of receiving. Christmas time is a time of believing. Christmas time is a time of sharing. Christmas time is a time of caring. And last but not least, Christmas time is a time of going. And Christmas time is a time of growing. Personal question. You ready? Here it is. Are you growing in the Lord?
Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Paul said in Philippians 3, forgetting what lies behind, reaching for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to know Him and know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. Are you growing? Tell me, this time last year, have you grown? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you going backwards or are you going forward? It's a time to grow. Christmas time is. Strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age, who have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Not only is a time of growing, last and but not least, is a time of going. In John chapter 20, verse 19, the resurrected Lord shows up with the disciples, nail scars in His hand. That's what He said. And He's saying it to us today. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Are you going? Are you telling? Christmas time is a wonderful time to share with somebody else what Jesus can do for them. Oh, but I'm busy. Oh, I got a lot of things going on. Listen to this, true story. October the 22nd, 2012. 7 geological scientific experts were sentenced to 6 years of prison. Why? Because in 2009, an earthquake hit Italy. 300 people were killed. And the court decided these 7 geological scientific experts failed to warn the people an earthquake was imminent. And they're sentenced to spend 6 years in jail because of their negligence. I wonder about some of us. If God were not merciful and gracious, have we neglected our responsibility to go and tell? People all around us, people all up and down these roads, they're all in our community. They're lost. They're headed for a devil's hell. And if we're not careful, we can just get wrapped up in our own little world. Christmas time's a time of going. Will you say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Here am I, Lord. I'm available to share the good news. This Christmas can be different. Will you make it a different Christmas? Let's stand together.